Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. On August 28, 2020, IBC celebrated the achievements of the class of 2020. 47 graduates were awarded degrees in either biblical studies, missiology, or worship studies, and it was a great time recognizing the academic completion of on-campus and online learners alike. During the commencement, Reverend Brian Ballestero, the pastor of the Temple of Pentecost in Raleigh, North Carolina, preached a message entitled, "A Compass, A Promise, An Altar, and a Well." We are excited to bring that message to you here today on the IBC podcast, your little part in our celebration of the class of 2020. Before we launch into that sermon today, you should know that the IBC in Espanol, our Spanish training program, has launched an apostolic certificate of studies that is 100% online and 100% in Spanish. Revival is happening in every language, and we are excited to play a small part in training tomorrow's apostolic Spanish-speaking leaders today. Visit indianabiblecollege.org/dl-es for more information. Right now, a compass, a promise, an altar, and a well.
It's a great privilege and an honor to bring to you our Indiana Bible College commencement speaker. That is none other than Reverend Brian Ballestero. He's a pastor of four graduates, one that he's especially fond of, no doubt, his own son, Huntley. We give honor to Reverend Ballestero, his precious wife, the Temple of Pentecost in Raleigh, North Carolina. Why don't we put our hands together and welcome to this pulpit our commencement speaker tonight, Brother Ballestero.
Thank you, Brother Galyon, and praise the Lord, everyone. What a joy to be a part of this monumental occasion, this time of great celebration, and we are thankful that God has done some miraculous things in the lives of every one of these graduates. But we know that God has great things in store for their future, and we rejoice in that tonight. Aren't you glad for that? So I want to say, I remember vividly that first Sunday. You remember that first Sunday when you came to JCM? We dropped off my son, and it was a very different time. It was a different time for us. And as I was sitting that Sunday morning in church, I thought, you know what? I don't have to preach this weekend. What a wonderful thing. I can just, as pastor, you don't get many opportunities to sit and appreciate a service. And so I said, I'm going to sit back and enjoy Brother Mooney's preaching. Just kind of going through some things emotionally, dropping Huntley off at Bible College. And I was sitting back there after church. Brother Mooney did a marvelous job. We went out to eat with Nicholas Huntley and families from our church. And while I was walking in the restaurant, I got a phone call from Brother Mooney and said, "The Lord wants you to preach tonight." There went my lunch. But I have seen these graduates over the last 4 years. And I don't know, I've had the privilege to preach one of the first Sundays you were here, and now this last official service that you are here, a student of Indiana Bible College. I have seen the hand of God and the anointing on your life, and today we celebrate you, and I want to preach a message that I feel God has given me for you today to celebrate this grand occasion, but also to commission what I believe God has for your life. Let's turn to our Bibles, to Genesis chapter 26, verse 24 is where I will read two verses of Scripture. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24 and 25. And the Bible says this, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. And I want to preach this challenge to you for the next few moments. A compass, a promise, an altar, and a well. A compass, a promise, an altar, and a well. I want to give honor to Pastor Josh Carson, Indiana Bible College president, pastor of this wonderful church. I want to give honor to Vice President of IBC, campus pastor, Brother Galyon, teachers, professors, faculty of IBC, the wonderful saints of Calvary who took our kids in many times, fed them meals in their own homes. I appreciate all of the investment of Calvary Tabernacle into our kids. We have 6 kids in IBC, 4 of them graduating this year. I want to give honor to Bishop Mooney, who is a hero and a mentor of mine, and now in my son's life as well. I am thankful that his fingerprints and influence have powerfully charged and shaped this graduation class. And finally, the 2020 IBC graduates, we celebrate you and we know that God has great things in store. I want to talk to all of our relieved parents here for just a moment. There are some things that the 2020 graduates will never know or experience. They will never know what it's like to look for a phone booth because you have to make an important call. They will never know the joys of dial-up internet. They will never have to deal with party lines, picking up the telephone and hearing your neighbor talk on the phone and waiting, hoping they will finish their conversation so you can make an important call. They will never know about slide projectors, church Bible study notes on overhead projectors, Sunday school film strips. Anyone remember those back in the day? They will never know about typewriters with that white out to fix the mistakes. 8 tracks, cassette tapes. And if you had a Sony Walkman cassette, you were high rolling. They will never know how to wind a cassette tape with the end of a pencil. There's a great art to it. Or to put all of the information on a floppy disk that held 2.4 megabyte on it. We would leave the house early in the morning, play out in the streets, ride our bikes through town, and Mom would say, just be back before the lights come on outside in the street lights. And we didn't have a telephone when we left. Your parents survived lead-painted walls. Your parents played with lawn darts. It was a game back in the day. It was about 2 feet long, and it had about a 6-inch spike on the end, and you got 2 opponents facing one another and put a circle right beside them. And you would launch it into the air and try to get into that circle and hopefully miss your competitor. We survived those moments. Your parents in their generation survived riding in cars with no car seats or certainly no seat belts. It's a wonder that we live to tell about it. You have heard stories from your parents and yawned as your parents relive the good old days. But I want to tell this generation and this graduating class, there are some things that never change. Some things we are glad we got smarter. Some things we're glad we are past and we made it through. But there are some things never changes. Technology changes, but the Word of God never changes. The roadmap never changes. And we can have faith and know that God's word stands the test of time. IBC graduates, tonight we celebrate your accomplishments. We honor your achievements. We applaud your determination. And we anticipate the wonderful things that God has in store for you. I want to inform you in humor that tonight you have finally arrived at the end of all your problems. The front end. Surrounding you graduates is a powerful support group. Pastors, IBC faculty, friends, family members, and yes, relieved parents. They say if you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you can be sure that it did not get there by itself. And tonight, behind every one of these graduating seniors, there is a culmination of years of hard work and determination. But they also represent the prayers of a praying church at home. They represent the trust and the counsel of their pastor. They represent the love and support of your family and your friends. Let me be clear to each of you graduates. You are not like every other 2020 college graduate that celebrated academic achievements in 2020. You are called and chosen of God. You are scholars on fire. You are apostolic. You are set apart. You are equipped with this wonderful message of apostolic truth. Hallelujah. When the world looks at you, I would remind you of Paul's admonition, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Never be ashamed of who you are or what you are for God. Never be ashamed of what you do. Never be ashamed of this glorious message that God has given you. The plan and the construction of the Eiffel Tower was filled with great adversity. It was constructed in 1887 and finally completed in 1889, just in time for the World Fair held in Paris. The original plan was that it would be a temporary structure. It was the highest structure in the world at that time. It would be temporary and only stand for 20 years, and then they would dismantle it forever. It was never intended to be a permanent structure of the Parisian skyline. From the beginning of the proposed design, it met major opposition. The tower was the subject of controversy, criticism, and objection on artistic grounds. Prior to the Eiffel Tower's construction, no structure had ever been constructed to the height of 300 meters, and many said it is not possible. In fact, a petition was signed and sent out. It was published in February the 14th, 1887, and it stated, it began, "We, writers, painters, sculptors, architects, and passionate devotees of the hitherto untouched beauty of Paris, we protest with all our strength, with all our indignation in the name of slighted French taste against the construction of this useless and monstrous Eiffel Tower." Others said it was a stupefying folly and an odious column of bolted metal. Today, 131 years later, the Eiffel Tower still stands a global icon and the cultural symbol of France, one of the most recognizable structures in the world and the most visited paid monument in the world, with over 8 million people every year ascending to the top. I want to tell this class there will always be opposition, obstruction, and adversaries that come against you in your life. But greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. There will be challenges, resistance that will say your method, your doctrine, your beliefs are outdated, they are archaic. You need to compromise your calling, compromise your method, compromise what you believe from the Word of God, and you will be better used. Let me be clear, this message has stood the test of time. It will continue with you or without you, but I believe you will continue loving the Word of God, loving truth like Brother Tony preached about last night, loving the Word of God in your life. I want to challenge you to take it, love it, live it, breathe it, sing it, preach it, teach it, write about it. It is your life. Don't lament that you are the only class in the modern era to graduate into a pandemic. God makes no mistakes. I believe that God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Monday was the first day of school for my younger three. I have a 13-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old as well. The policies and restrictions in their class, they are in person, but they are very restricted. One of the policies in my 9-year-old's class is that all snack time and lunchtime has to be done at their desk. When he got in the car at the end of the day, he was exasperated, and the first thing he proclaimed was, "Well, I accidentally ate my lunch during snack time." I don't know if he thought the lunch looked better than the snack and thought I'll start there first, or he got his timing mixed up. I want to tell this class, you won't have it all thought through and worked out. But I know a God who knows the end from the beginning. I know a God who knows the way. And you need to stay a hold of God, stay true to His Word, stay true to what God is doing. A compass, a promise, an altar, and a well. Let me take some pressure off this class. You were not called to transform the world. You were called to transform your world. You were placed by God to reach your world. More than prospective job opportunities, more than academics, and we applaud that. More than goals, dreams, and plans. These are important and needful. You represent future pastors, evangelists, church administrators, missionaries, apostolic songwriters, musicians, artists, music ministers. You represent home Bible study teachers, soul winners. You represent the hand of God in this generation. You were not created to be weak, frail, or defeated. You were created for such a time as this. You were created to be victorious. You were created so that you can go into a lost and dying world. I want you to go in confidence that you are anointed and appointed of God. I want you to point your finger at yourself and say, I am anointed and appointed of God. God never set parameters of personality on His prophets. This has helped me a lot. He never set the parameters of personality on the prophet. He gave them a word and said, give my word to my people. He never said, I want you to use a little bit of humor in there. I want you to be a little scholastic in this one. He just gave them the word, and they would be judged by the fact that they gave the word. I find no place in Scripture where God demanded that the word was delivered in a particular style or personality. They were judged, and they had to deliver the word. The written word takes precedent over any preacher. The word of God takes precedent over any theologian or speaker. The word of God is effective. Just preach the word. Just preach the word. He didn't set an age limit. He didn't set an IQ minimum or a personality type. He said, preach the word. Write about my word. Write about the things of God. They had to be obedient to the word. Prophets that God sent were diverse. Some were highly educated and consults to kings. They were advisors of the highest decisions made in the world at that time. While others were country preachers, they were ridiculed and scorned. Their verbiage and illustrations simple, but they preached the word. They preached messages. They wrote psalms. They wrote poems. They composed things of God. The prophet Isaiah was a giant in Jewish history. The New Testament quotes him more than any other prophet, all the other prophets added together. While Jeremiah began his ministry as a 14-year-old boy when he said, give me the old pass. And he became the mouthpiece of God. Then he proceeded to speak to a nation for 40 years that would not listen. I'm sure he tired of the ridicule, but he continued to stand alone against the crowd. He spoke dark things in dark times. You're going to have to stand in moments like your mom and dad never stood before, like your pastor has never stood in before. We are facing things that we have never faced before, but you are called and chosen of God, and God has equipped you for this moment. Carl Ballastero, my grandfather, Huntley, your great-grandfather, 70 years ago, he carried this compass in the 1950s when he evangelized. He came from a broken background. He was in San Quentin prison, and God mercifully saved him, and he became a powerful preacher. In fact, his first message came from a crumpled tract that somebody threw down and didn't want it. He picked it up in a jail cell and read about the truth. And began, his first message was in San Quentin prison. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. 70 years ago, he carried this when he evangelized as a compass. It still works as good today as it did 70 years ago. When I open this up, immediately it points north. He kept it to remind him of where he came from and where he was going. He kept it to remind him that he was here, why he was here, and what he was doing, and what direction he needed to stay on course. The course for holiness, the course for this apostolic message, this course for truth. His message spanned 60 years ago. He gave it to my father 50 years ago in the 1960s, before I was born. My father gave this compass to me to remind me. And tonight I will give it to Huntley at the end of this graduation message. Huntley, this compass represents the Word of God. This compass represents a message. If you get lost, you better get back in the Bible. What does the Word of God say? Class of 2020, you need to love the Word of God. You need to live the Word of God. Live truth. Live it. In our text that we read, Isaac, he did three things. He was given a promise by God in verse number 24. In verse 25, and he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. The first thing Isaac did was he built an altar. It represents our relationship with God. God must be first. It signifies the priority of his life. God doesn't get the leftovers. God gets the first fruit. The second thing he did was he pitched a tent, a place of dwelling, a place for his family. God was first. His family was second. Represents his family life. And the third thing he did was he dug a well. He built an altar, pitched a tent. He dug a well. You don't go looking for a well, which is a well is a place of sustenance. Your job, your vocation, your search for success, income, a well will help you survive and go. He did not go looking for that. Some people get the well first and they bypass the altar. You will get into trouble and you'll lose your way when you walk around the altar and try to find a well. Deuteronomy 7. Verse 7 through 9, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, and the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment. That's what I want to highlight. Love him and keep his commandments to the thousand generations. Altars and wells can define our life. An altar is a place of death, a place of sacrifice, but a well is a place of life and blessing. I was counting earlier there may be 5 to 10. There's probably about 10 parents of your parents that went to Jackson Bible College. Maybe faculty and parents that went to Jackson Bible College. Many, many years ago, 28 years ago, I graduated from there. These parents know about Room 4A in Jackson, Mississippi. If you would ask them about Room 4A, they would tell you that is the prayer room, the humble little room on the campus that is no longer there. That was the place, an altar of prayer. After Abraham built his altar, he went on to obtain a promise. The practice of building altars was passed down from generation to generation. The most important thing our 20 graduates can glean from their time at IBC is that they built an altar here and got a hold of God. This is probably one of the most talented classes. Incredible class. People that are going to do great things. But I want to tell you tonight, God is not impressed with your talent, your ability, or what you're going to do. He's impressed by an altar. If you want to attract God, you need to build an altar. If you want a well, you need to start by building an altar first. In the tabernacle, the two most important pieces, the Ark of the Covenant and the altar. The altar represents sacrifice and death. The ark represents the power and presence of God. The dimensions of the two were such. The altar was large enough the ark could be placed inside of it. God's plan was that the altar was bigger than the ark. What some try to do is build bigger arks. But God wants us to build not bigger arks, but bigger altars. The bigger your altar, the bigger the ark can contain it. It's a matter of progression with God. We need to build arks that will shake our generation. We need to build an altar that will shake this world. In closing, Jesse profoundly paraded his sons before the man of God who had commanded Jesse, "Bring your sons to me, and I will anoint one king." Jesse, I can see him standing to the side proudly, knowing that one of my sons will be the next king of all Israel. They each had their own admirable traits and abilities, but six sons stood and slowly passed the prophet of God, and still the man of God shook his head. No, he's not it. Are there any others? Well, you know, I do have one more son, but you see, he's a humble shepherd boy. Not much to look at. He doesn't seem to be as talented, gifted, or broad of stature like the others. The sad thing is that Jesse's own father didn't see a potential king in David. Jesse didn't see David as being worthy of a high calling and anointing. It's obvious that Jesse had no faith or confidence that David would even be a consideration for the high calling inquired by the prophet of God. When he looked at his youngest, all he could do was compare him to the oldest and say, no, he's not ready. He's not qualified. He's not like his older brothers. Jesse obviously didn't see a giant killer. All he could see was a youthful sheep herder. Jesse did not see a chosen vessel of God who would launch a stone into the forehead of the giant and be the willing vessel to defeat a giant and bring victory to all of God's people. He didn't see the most cherished king that Israel would celebrate for thousands of years to come. All he saw was a fledgling youth that liked to strum his harp and sing his little songs as he watched over the sheep. He didn't see David as the potential to one day be mightily used of God. All he could see was the perception that, no, he's not ready. He's not good enough and probably won't amount to much. It's easier to have confidence, faith, and respect in someone after you have seen them anointed to be the future king. But today, gathered around you, graduates, are parents, pastors, IBC faculty, friends, family. We see 2020 graduates, but we also see something that Jesse did not see. We see a king in you. We see giant killers in you. We see anointed vessels of the Lord in you. Most of you didn't discover your talent, ability, or calling at Bible college. It was born like David in a lonely, humble field while you played your harp and sang to a few sheep. But IBC, you developed your talent, your ability. You built an altar. You were anointed greatly of the Lord. And tonight we commission you to go find your place, fulfill your calling, walk in godly anointing. We believe in you. We see a king in you. Now take the compass and go change your world.
The IBC en Español, our Spanish training program, has launched an apostolic certificate of studies that is 100% online and 100% in Spanish. Revival is happening in every language, and we are excited to play a small part in training tomorrow's apostolic Spanish-speaking leaders today. Visit indianabiblecollege.org/DL-ES for more information.